is not snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas before.
I detect a little teary eye in some of you. Wow, what a great song, isn't it? It's a song that touches all of us. I don't care what generation you are. Today begins the first Sunday of Advent, but also our first week of a four-sermon series part called Coming Home, or Come Home for Christmas. I thought that would be an appropriate theme as we think about coming home for Christmas, as we journey with Jesus to the manger, as we think about home. Home in different respects. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today and for the next 4 weeks. Hollywood portrays coming home in several different ways. You'll see on the screen here some movies that you're probably familiar with. Scarlett O'Hara making her way back to Terra. Dorothy trying to make her way back to her home in Kansas. George Bailey realizes in the movie Wonderful Life that it really is a wonderful life in their new home. Who could forget E.T. and Phone Home? Phone Home. One of my favorite movies, Pat, she gets tired of seeing it. Every time it comes on, I have to watch it. Apollo 13 with Jim Lovell, portrayed by Tom Hanks, and trying to get home from that near disastrous flight to the moon. And I didn't put it up here, but one of my favorite commercials is that famous Folgers coffee commercial where Peter comes home in the middle of the night and puts on a pot of coffee. And as that smell of that coffee wafts up to the bedroom, Mother comes down and says, "Peter!" Apparently Peter's been gone and he's home for Christmas. Wow, what wonderful thoughts and memories. This longing for home can be a biblical metaphor for something that is much, much deeper within us. And it has to do with our intimate relationship with God. If we study the Scriptures, and if we know the Scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament, we know that God's people long for their home with God. Literally, the Israelites making their way home to where? The Promised Land. Spending 40 years in the desert. And then we read about later in the book of the prophets about the exiles, the people of God who were separated from their temple, separated from their homeland, which lay in ruins. They're in Babylon, many hundreds of miles away, crying and weeping for Jerusalem and the day that they will return to their homeland. Mary and Joseph, the story of Mary and Joseph that we'll hear over and over again this Christmas season, and how they journeyed to Bethlehem, to be counted in the census. Jesus even talks about coming home in the story, the parable of the prodigal son who squandered all of his inheritance on loose living and finally comes home to be willing to be one of his father's slaves. The fundamental truth with all of this is that whether we realize it or not, we're all lost, homesick runaways. longing to come home to God, to God's love. How do we know this? Well, we know that we were created by God, and we were created to be in relationship with God. I don't know which church father or which theologian it was, but it's been said that God, when He created us, left a hole in our hearts. He left a vacuum, a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts that only God could fill. And the problem is that many people are trying to fill that emptiness, that vacuum, that void, with everything but God. And those things, unfortunately, just leave us empty. St. Augustine, that great church father from the 4th century, said, quote, "Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in Thee." Our souls are restless until we find their rest in Thee. This next 4 weeks is going to be a journey. We're going to take this journey to Christmas. And we're going to try to find our way home spiritually. We're going to try to find our way home to God's love, to God's hope, to God's mercy, and ultimately to God's peace. Come home to love is the title of this week's message. Come home to love. Have you ever been homesick? Ever been away from home long enough to get homesick? In Bible study this week, somebody shared that as a little kid, they went to stay with their grandparents, and about midnight that first night with the grandparents, they decided that it was time to go home and to call the parents and come and get them. Well, obviously, Grandma and Grandpa weren't very happy, and Mom and Dad weren't very happy to have to get up in the middle of the night and go get this screaming child and bring him home. I don't mind sharing that Billy Gaskell, one of our Bible study members, member of our church who served in Iraq during the first Iraq War, said that he had many, many times he was homesick for his beloved family and hometown and so forth. And he shared that with us, as many soldiers get homesick away from home. And then I shared my 10 days that I was in Poland on a seminary immersion trip. We went there to tour the concentration camps and the ovens, Auschwitz and Treblinka and Birkenau, as well as to study the Polish culture. And after about the first 7 or 8 days, I was starting to get a little homesick. I was missing my wife. We were living in Laurel at the time, and missing my kitty cat, and just really got to me there a little bit. But we survived and we persevered. Figured I wasn't going to get home any sooner, but we got through it. Many of us don't realize it, though, that we are all homesick. The prophet Jeremiah, in today's scripture, talks about a homesickness as he writes about the people of God far away from their homeland. And the scripture I want to read for you today comes from the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, also known as the weeping prophet. He was very emotional, and you could hear his tears, see his tears, feel his tears in his writing. And he writes these words for us today, as he talks about coming home to God's love and God's love for God's people. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, that is, he was in jail, the Lord gave him this second message. "This is what the Lord says, the Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. You have torn down the houses of this city and even the king's palace to get materials to strengthen the walls against the siege ramps and swords of the enemy. You expect to fight the Babylonians, but the men of this city are already as good as dead. For I have determined to destroy them in my terrible anger. I have abandoned them because of all their wickedness. Nevertheless, that means something good's coming. Nevertheless, the time will come when I will heal Jerusalem's wounds and give it prosperity and a true peace. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and Israel and rebuild their towns. I will cleanse them of their sins against me and forgive all their sins of rebellion. Then this city will bring me joy, glory, and honor before all the nations of the earth. The people of the world will see all the good that I do for my people, and they will tremble with awe at the peace and prosperity I provide them. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And in that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. This prophet of God gives the exiles a vision of God gathering the people like a mother hen gathers her chicks. This vision of God is a vision of restoration, of renewal, of healing, of a people who had been separated from God but would have their relationship restored because of God's love for them. These homesick exiles would come home dancing and clapping their hands and rejoicing when they came through the fallen walls of Jerusalem home. And not only that, God would provide a branch, capital B, a branch from the stump of David, that is a descendant from David, from David's house. And we know on the side of Jesus that stump, that shoot, is the Savior Jesus that came to us that first Christmas.